Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Scripture lesson this morning is taken from the New Testament, book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God.
You may be seated. Thank you very much, Tim. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your love and your insight, for your goodness in our lives, for the opportunity to study your holy word and to be moved and motivated by it. As we gather in your name, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Great crowds were gathering in Jerusalem. It was Passover time. It was the time people always flocked together in the holy city. We're talking about a city of about 40,000 people. When the Passover took place, it went to somewhere close to 200,000 people, five times the size of the city itself. Wow, people gathered from all corners of the community, all corners of the world. They came for the Passover feast. And as a part of the Passover feast, as part of this great crowd, we see Jesus and his throng, small or large, we don't know how many came, but they were a part of small communities of people, pilgrims from all over the area who came together to celebrate together, to prepare for the Passover together. It was a holy and blessed time of the year. And during this time, we read the beautiful words of Zechariah that are lifted up, words of excitement. "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming." Even the gospel tellers pick up the great words of the prophet of old as they scope out, as they talk about this day in which Jesus entered Jerusalem during this holy and special time. I love Zechariah's message from the Message translation, chapter 9 in Zechariah. This is his prophecy. "Shout and cheer, daughter of Zion. Raise the roof, daughter Jerusalem. Your king is coming, a good king who makes all things right, a humble king, riding on a donkey, a mere colt of a donkey. I've had it with war. No more chariots in Ephraim. No more war horses in Jerusalem. No more swords and spears. No more bows and arrows. He will offer us peace to the nations, a peaceful rule worldwide from the four winds to the seven seas." That's the kind of expectation that was there in the prophets of old and picked up by the gospel writers. Even the Pharisees looking on couldn't resist saying, I love it, verse 19 in Mark's gospel. "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world is going after him. You can't do anything about it." Wow. Jesus grabs the donkey, sits on it, riding along the people as if to say, "I'm on a donkey, I realize it, and I'm not the king you're expecting, but I am the king you're getting, so pay attention. I'm more than you could have ever imagined, and I will be more for you." Now, where I was just now was in John's gospel. Because I like John's gospel of the telling of this holy story. But our scripture for today was really Mark, the 11th chapter. It was Mark's gospel, and it just sort of takes us back a little bit. In fact, when you take a look at it, read it sometime during the day, Mark's gospel as it relates to Palm Sunday. It doesn't start off with a great parade. I love parades. I always loved it when I was in parades. Well, sometimes I did, except when they would say, okay, Airman Leeds, you have to be out at 5:30 in the morning for the parade to begin downtown. But I loved it when I was the sergeant of the color guard back home in my high school band front, and I could lead the parade. They had men as color guard members in those days. Most of them were women nowadays. They're much prettier, I realized, but I loved parades. Always liked marching in a parade. Mark doesn't even start talking about a parade at all. He talks about all the stuff that goes on beforehand. In fact, he tells the readers about how everything got going in the parade before the procession even began, and it all has to do with what? A donkey detail. Ah, isn't that something we'd love to be a part of? Well, sure, transportation is relatively important. Well, only relatively. I mean, there's more important things in the transportation. And from my perspective, maybe this is just sort of a mundane, non-spectacular, even trivial matter, how we're going to get a donkey to Jesus so he can ride into the holy city. Mark, however, sees it differently. Because if you take a look at his gospel and the Palm Sunday story, more than half of his account talks about getting this donkey to Jesus. Nothing about the parade. That's where I wanted to be. The great triumphal procession begins with two disciples sent by Jesus to wheel and deal with a donkey trader standing in the mire of some stable trying to get Jesus the means to go into Jerusalem. That's really what Mark's gospel is all about at this point in time. A distinguished preacher by the name of Thomas Long, in a meditation on this wonderful passage from Mark's gospel, says this: though no one knows what these two disciples were thinking, I'm very confident that they had imagined themselves a grander and nobler role on this day than being part of a donkey detail. Can you imagine the disciples? I mean, after all, this is Jesus. We're his followers. We're his disciples. There must be some prominent place for us in the parade. I would think it makes sense that we would be right up front with the Lord, you know? Even though Mark does not suggest which two disciples were on the street looking for a donkey, I have a funny feeling, if you go back just a little bit, before this occasion, you remember there were two disciples talking to Jesus about what? Oh, Lord, if it would be all right with you, one of us wants to sit at your right hand and one of us wants to sit at your left hand. James and John were the two disciples. Wouldn't it be so wonderful, Lord, that you would have us on either side of you as you prepare for your kingdom? And I know the wisdom and the smarts of Jesus. And he said, let's see, which two disciples should I send to go after the donkey? Ah, James, John, come here, would you please, for just a moment, I have a job for you. And so they were sent on their task. Some glory they were now experiencing. Finally, the processional was about to begin, and the disciples brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and Jesus sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread out leafy branches along the way as Jesus and his followers made their way into the holy city. And then Scripture says, then they began shouting, Hosanna, translated, which means what? Help us! Save us! There's a sense of enthusiasm, but also a sense of tremendous need. Save us, please! Help us! Blessed is the one coming in the name of the Lord. You remember the beginning of Mark's gospel and the words from Isaiah. Think back, the beginning of Mark's gospel, these were the words that we read. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And John the baptizer appeared. Someone who will prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Today, two disciples appear, setting the stage for what is about to take place for the rest of the week. They are preparing the way. Oh, you say, well, that's inconsequential. That's sort of a mundane kind of issue. Or is it really? They were preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. And because of their obedience in attending the mundane details of fetching a donkey, the parade could begin on time. And Jesus could lead his entourage into the holy city without a hitch. That's the way parades work, don't they? Take the 4th of July parade here in Monument. One of the biggest parades anywhere you'll find in the nation on the 4th of July. And we've been a part of it on a number of occasions. We've done goofy and crazy things in these parades. My golly. But what do you have to do? You have to prepare before the parade starts. Well, they line up down the old Denver Highway. There are tractors and mules, and there's trucks and cars and little guys on scooters, and all the people have to arrive. You got to make sure those old tractors are working and the old men who are riding those scooters are working as well. All the preparation that goes into making a great parade, all the work takes place before the hooting and the hollering of the parade begins. That's what life is really all about. That's what the Christian faith is all about. Who are the faithful disciples of today? The same as yesterday. The one who are behind the scenes preparing the way of the Lord. The ones who are giving out of obedience their time and their courage and their love and their dedication and their talents to making sure the way of the Lord is prepared so that when he comes again, we're ready for a parade like we've never experienced in our lifetime. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not a spectator sport. We're all involved in this call, in preparing the way. And who are they? We are the ones. We are the ones who prepare the way. We are the ones who teach a women's Bible study. We're the ones who gather to pray for those in need. We're those who bake cakes for a membership class and greet those who come to worship and fix sandwiches and bake cookies for Ronald McDonald House and clean floors and commodes and serve on committees and plow snow and prepare for bread, the bread and wine, and work the sound system and teach confirmation and drive a van on a mission trip and paint a school and fold bulletins and make meals and replace carpet in a veteran's home and teach children and sing songs and beat drums. We're preparing the way of the Lord. Just as the disciples of old were called to do. We are the ones who will secure the room so that Jesus can have an intimate meal with his friends before he goes to the crucifixion. We will provide the tomb as a resting place before the day of resurrection. We are the preparers of the way, the ones who are preparing the path for Jesus' entrance into the world again in a dynamic and remarkable way. Let the parade begin. Let it start now that we're here. Hosanna in the highest! Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.